Welcome back once again, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program presented by the Community State Bank in Peyton. This is Coltrane Carlson, and here to wrap up the second part of our two-part series is our State Representative Chip Baltimore once again. And so, Mr. Baltimore, if you wouldn't mind just kind of going over one of the last few pieces of that puzzle that you guys put together before the session ends every year, and that's going through the budget process. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. Well, you know, this year was a little bit different than prior years because we were also committed to doing tax reform at the same time. Anytime that you want to think about doing tax reform, you also have to consider the impacts that that's going to have on the budget. The tax reform and the tax issues, that brings in the money, and then the budget is what sends it out, what spends it. So the two really do go together, and it would not be fiscally prudent to consider one without the other. The budget was kind of generally agreed to a few weeks ago. We were just trying to hammer out the details of the tax reform side to make sure that that was going to be, you know, stable and sustainable in the future. On the budget side, you know, we continue to fund the priorities of Iowans. Education is still the number one thing that we spend money on in this state. And again, we're in the mid-50% of total general fund dollars spent on education. That was huge. Medicaid continues to grow in terms of the percentage of the general fund that it uses, and we made sure that we were funding that appropriately. Obviously, there's some implementation issues still hanging on from the Governor Branstad's privatization of the Medicaid system, but we put some oversight in there as well to try to make sure that those issues are getting ironed out quickly and appropriately for the people that need those kind of services. For the first year in quite a while, the judicial branch saw a relatively substantial increase in funding, understanding that we're trying to do some good things there and try to shore up that system a little bit to make sure that it's functional. As we've talked before, you know, we did fund some of the water quality initiatives that were out there. That's beneficial and helpful, and I look forward to some of those projects coming online in the next year or so, making a small step, in my opinion, in the right direction for water quality. So I think overall our budget was sound. I think it was prudent. It's kind of set up with reasonable estimations of economic growth. You know, we didn't come in here and anticipate that we're going to have 4 or 5% growth in terms of revenues coming in, and then spend it all, and then have to backtrack it if the revenues don't come in later on. So we're hopeful that the economy is going to continue to click along at a reasonable pace, and that will generate the tax revenues that are necessary to fund the spending that we committed to. On the tax reform side, I think we did a very, very good job of balancing the interests there, primarily of middle and lower income Iowans. The average Iowa household is projected under this tax reform plan to pay 10% less in state income taxes in future years. We're going to phase that in, obviously, because we don't want to just do it all in one fell swoop. And we also built in some safeguards there that if the economy in the state doesn't grow at a certain rate, then those tax cuts don't take effect. That's just kind of smart, right?
Yeah.
At least in my opinion on it. So I think the other part is we tried to spread this out. Over 90% of the households in Iowa will get some sort of tax relief. The other 10% that won't are either those people that aren't making any money, and they have no income, so they don't pay any income tax, or those people that make an extraordinarily large amount of money and don't need it necessarily. So I think the other thing that I think is great for especially smaller communities and small town retailers and businesses is we modernized the sales tax part so that we're going to start trying to collect sales tax on online purchases. Mm-hmm. Those small town retailers, and I know Jefferson's got a bunch of them there, they make very, very substantial investments in the community, not only in terms of just their buildings and their presence, but they also pay property taxes, they pay payroll taxes, they pay payroll to the people that they hire. Quite honestly, they're at a disadvantage when it comes to competing with the Amazons of the world who don't have to collect sales tax. And we heard this repeatedly from small town retailers, what a problem that was. When you can go online and buy something at a 7% discount simply because they don't have to pay sales tax. It just wasn't fair. And I know that, you know, some people like to go online and buy things without paying sales tax, even though under the current law they're supposed to report that on their state income tax return and pay it anyway. Vast majority of people don't pay that. So part of the modernization part was to start trying to make an effort to collect sales tax from these out-of-state retailers, you know, so that it's fairer for Iowans here that are trying to establish and maintain their businesses, and also just creates a level playing field and hopefully will increase some of the income to the state.
And finally, Representative Baltimore, I know that you've recently announced that you're not seeking another term in the Iowa House. So could you just tell us about your time spent down there at the state capitol building and looking back on your political career there?
It's been a remarkable 8 years. It seems to have gone on forever at times, but it's also passed in the blink of an eye. So, I think the thing that I really enjoyed the most was simply talking to the people in the district, meeting the people in the district, seeing what's important to them, seeing what state government does, you know, how that impacts their lives, both positively and negatively. You know, I've met so many wonderful people that work so hard simply to make their communities great places to live with great businesses and great families and schools. And I think that was really, you know, the best part of that. And I'm hopeful that through my work as their state representative, I was able to take their goals and their desires to the Capitol and represent them well in that. So, you know, I'm very honored and privileged to have served as their representative, and that's an understatement. I can't tell you how much that means to me, the faith that they put in me to represent them at the Capitol. It's just that after 8 years, it's just a good time. There's some things that I would have liked to have accomplished better down there. That's the way the process works in a Republic government like that. It's hard to always get consensus around what I think. So I would have liked to have done a few other things, but by and large, I hope that I've just represented the people of the district well, and we've done some good things on their behalf.
And that's our guest for today's Community State Bank in Payton. Let's Talk Green County program, here with our state representative for the last time, Chip Baltimore, joining us. Community State Bank in Payton is an independent, locally owned bank in business since 1956. Back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.